Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:40 British Summer Time. Today is May 1st. Today being May 1st, it's Labour Day in a large number of countries, so there's a significant number of European and Asian markets were shut today. In Japan this morning, the Nikkei was a tad softer, down about 0.4%, and the ASX was also a little softer, and so was the New Zealand market. And in Europe, the FTSE was up about a third. But while stock market news is pretty quiet in those regions, what's been happening elsewhere is probably a bit more noteworthy. The S&P was weaker today by almost 1%, so pulling back once more from that 1600 region. And gold today was as low as 1440, and it closed out the day at 1457, but that's still $19 down on the day. And that was indicative of weakness right across the commodity complex. And oil was down by $2.50. So WTI is down to just a bit more than $90. And the Brent crude contract is back below $100. And selling pressure was particularly concerted in the industrial metals. And copper was down by 12 cents on the COMEX contract and is back again testing that $3 area. And aluminium, zinc, tin, lead, they were all weaker in here today. What we've seen in the last 3 weeks has been a reasonably good bounce in some of those industrial resources, but they were chopped off at the knees in here today. And another clear upward dynamic would now be required to suggest that demand is returning in this area, and that would need to happen pretty soon if the momentum that is in the market at present is to be checked. And in soft commodities, the soybean contract was down by 26 ticks, and it's down to 1,373. So while we've had a reasonably good bounce in something like wheat, soybeans remains reasonably weak in here. And in the bond markets, US Treasuries were stronger by almost a full point, and they're back above 149. And German Bunds were closed in here today, but they've been trading in the upper side of a year-long range for the last few weeks, and they hit a new all-time high last week. And there's been a distinct absence of downward dynamics. And UK gilts were a little bit firmer in here today as well, and they're back up to the 120 area. We remain in a broadly volatile type environment, and the strength that we have in government bonds hasn't really subsided, and they've been edging higher over the last few weeks. And Wall Street has been posting new all-time highs, and the S&P testing the round 1600 area is rather significant. In Europe, we've seen that there's been probably the deepest correction, and we've seen a number of these markets finding support in the region of the lower side of their ranges and the region of the moving average, and they've firmed in the last few weeks. But perhaps the biggest news in here today is the speculation that the Fed is going to reduce the amount of quantitative easing in the market by the end of the year. And in the medium term, people will probably look at that and say, well, that's probably good news for the economy. But in the short term, markets have become largely addicted to liquidity provision. And any threat to the provision of that liquidity is likely to see investors moving to the doors. So the next big hurdle for markets generally is likely to be the removal of that quantitative easing. And that is likely to result in quite considerable volatility in some markets, potentially bear markets in others. But also, it will provide us with the next really big buying opportunity. Because what we can be assured of is that central banks are not going to remove quantitative easing until they have a good reason to. And they've spelled out for us exactly what they need to see in that regard. And that means that the Fed will want to see the unemployment rate coming down, and they're pretty happy with where inflation is at present. And Europe is only beginning to talk about a growth strategy, and there's a distinct lack of inflationary pressures. In fact, the European economy has been contracting for 15 consecutive months. So there is the possibility we're going to have a rate cut there. And the yen continues to hover here in the region of 100 yen to the dollar, but hasn't really broken below that region yet. So there is additional capacity for liquidity provision from the Bank of Japan. But what people are really starting to look at is the US economy and to what degree the Fed is likely to continue to add assistance. And as long as there is speculation that the $80 billion a month in purchases of mortgage securities and US treasuries is going to be tailed back, then that will add an additional sense of anxiety to markets. And gold in here today, back to $1,457, and that's $17 off the low. And we've had a good rally in gold over the last 2 weeks. And it's gone from a low of 1,321 all the way up to test the $1,500 area, although not quite reaching that level. And that was a rally that was spurred by physical gold purchases. And there is a great deal of commentary going around at present about the weight of gold, physical gold purchases, and the impact that is having on the paper gold market. What has been particularly noteworthy, despite the fact that we've had a $170 rally in gold over the last 2 weeks, has been the fact that ETF holdings of gold have continued to trend lower. So people holding ETFs have been using this as an opportunity to sell into that rally, whereas people that want to buy physical gold, and people who want to hold physical gold might, I think, justifiably be considered gold bugs. And I guess something that I've talked about at the chart seminar over the last number of years is the testimony of somebody I met in China a number of years ago who said that he remembered the first time he held gold and that how it warmed up in his hand and that he loved holding his gold. And he wasn't talking about holding it as an investment. He was he had a tactile relationship with that investment. So those types of people have been rushing out to buy gold. It's created a tightness in the physical gold market. But that hasn't been really reflected in the futures market. And it hasn't really been reflected in the ETF market. And really it is the price of the commodity that is perhaps the biggest arbiter. And what we've had is a very impressive rally, and prices are right back to the first area of potential resistance, which is the lower side of the overhead trading range. And if that resistance is going to be broken, then gold will find support above its recent low on a pullback, and we may presently be in that type of scenario. And it will then push back above the $1,500 area and back above the 200-day moving average. Then it will need to establish itself back above the 200-day moving average. And if it can do that, then the prospect of the 10-year bull market being reasserted increases really quite substantially. But at present, that's a big ask. And we are still very much in the early stages. Now, the other side of that argument is that if gold fails at this area and then fails to find support above the $1,320 area, then the bull market is most definitely over. And that will really require quite a bit of adjustment for all those people that are out there buying physical gold. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.